Welcome to Two Slant Trees, the podcast where a married couple learn to cope differently during social isolation while reading Brené Brown's The Gift of Imperfection together. This is episode 12, and today we'll be talking about cultivating calm and stillness. I'm about ready to fall over and be very calm and still in sleep. But I'm...
That's very, very funny. And can I share my joke?
You can share your joke.
So we ran out of toilet paper and we're now using lettuce leaves. Today was just the tip of the iceberg. Tomorrow remains to be seen.
No.
I lulled.
I'm grossed up by the idea. I mean, I would probably...
spinach. I mean, that's about all it's good for, but...
No, I was... Kale. I was going to say I would use... Kale's Ripley. I'd rather use family cloth.
Just for context, this is like the fourth time we tried to get through this intro, folks, so we might have some outtakes later. Anyways, maybe let's calm. Stillness.
I just want to laugh. So...
Yeah, that's another. Well, that's a different guy post. No jokes on this one.
No jokes on this one. Just calmness.
Did you have one? Be very serious all the time. Work.
Not like serious. That we can play.
Okay.
Okay, I'm falling asleep here. So calm, she says. It is creating perspective and mindfulness while managing emotional reactivity. So people can bring perspective to complicated situations and feel their feelings without reacting to heightened emotions like fear and anger. So I guess one example is someone who stays steady when the people around them are reacting quite a bit. That's basically what she says.
Yeah.
So by that, those standards, I am not a calm parent.
Yeah. I feel like I sometimes succeed at being calm. I feel like, but it's, I mean, I'm calm if I'm in control of the situation, but that doesn't really count for much, does it?
Sometimes you pretend you're calm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that helps in a lot of situations.
That's true. Yeah.
Where you can kind of say, I don't like this, but I'll deal with it in an hour or two.
Yeah, that and then when the hour or two come, and you're like, Jess, I have something to say, and I'm just like, I'm so confused.
I suppose. I should freak out more. But I feel like sometimes I can kind of like step out of it. I think especially with the kids, I'm mostly able to kind of...
It's a practice, and what she talks about. For me, it's calm as a practice. It's like... because my natural thing is to like react to their crazy and be like, why are you so crazy? Stop hitting everybody and your brother. Like I told you 100 times, but like, so she says it's a practice. So,
selective hearing. I've found
that is really helpful.
The most helpful thing.
I lack that. If I could have selective hearing, I think I would be a much better parent. She also, okay, she says this, anxiety is contagious, but so is calm, which I think is pretty true for kids. Like, I never really learned about how people can pick up on vibes until I had kids, and wow, can they ever sense, like, they smell fear,
and they can just go after it,
and they smell anxiety, like, they can
grizzly
tell.
Bear.
Yeah, so it makes sense that they'd also pick up on just calmness.
Yeah.
And so one of the places that she talks about is cultivating stillness, calm,
yeah,
is practicing breathing, which sounds pretty, like, lame, but also basic.
Well, that works for me for sure. Breathing. I find that, so if I have a hard time falling asleep, the first thing I need to go do is breathing.
It's true.
Right? Just a few deep breaths.
I thought you were going to make a joke about breathing helps staying alive.
That also really helps. But that's like if my mind's just racing from the day, I realize a few deep breaths kind of help me remember that whatever I was thinking about, I won't be thinking about it in the morning.
Yeah.
Or maybe I will be. Then I should get up and maybe write it down so I don't forget about work or something.
I hate that when that happens.
When I would get up and leave.
No, when I'm like, oh, I really need to remember that in the morning.
But and you're warm and you don't want to get out of bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when it's okay to go to sleep. So it's not keeping you up.
I was actually looking at this recently. If you want to have an interesting read, look into the vagus nerve. So deep breathing actually helps.
Yeah, that never came up in any of my philosophy classes.
No.
Is that like a...
It's actually a nerve in your body that controls a lot
hysteria?
Of stuff. don't talk to me about hysteria.
Okay, I don't know what it
does. He just cracked a joke and I gave him a death glare. So it's a nerve that controls a lot of things in your body, but when you breathe deeply, it stimulates the vagus nerve, and that also can send out neurotransmitters.
Yeah. I heard, but like if it gets pinched, you like pass out right away.
Is that the same one?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, but there's like, it's this huge nerve, and it controls a lot of stuff, and now there's like a bunch of research happening about the vagus nerve, but it's super interesting. It relates to gut health, it relates to instincts, it relates to all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But deep breathing. Helps trigger, like, the centeredness, all New Agey words, but, like, real science things to help calm.
Yeah, yeah. So I was actually, this fall, I was at a workshop for, like, youth leaders, and they talked a bit about anxiety. And I'd heard this thing before, it's called the Big Five.
Yeah.
And if people are feeling anxious, and I've used this a couple of times where I'm just, like, again, having a hard time, I don't know, feeling worked up about something. But it's called the Big Five, and they use it with people that are dealing with anxiety, and really at any level. And so it's just to stop, you look around, you look for five things you can see, four things you can touch and feel, three things you can hear, two things that you can smell, mm-hmm. and then one thing you can know. And so kind of going through that process helps you kind of get regrounded back into reality. That's a way of kind of calming down. When you're starting to feel like anxiety starting to rise up.
Is that kind of like example of what they say, what's the word?
Like a grounding?
I guess, or mindfulness.
I have no idea.
Mindfulness is a word that they use a lot right now, and it's, I think it just means like
being aware. I think mindfulness is probably better than mindlessness.
One would assume.
Yeah.
Because it's full of mind instead of less of mind.
But Mark Wahlberg films are not a mindful. I think that's a pretty brainless, if not mindless.
But also excellent and
wonderful. Yeah, good for your mental health.
Good for our health. Mental health
in our, certain our relational mental health.
Also,
your mileage
not
may vary.
Just Mark Wahlberg, The Rock.
Yeah,
anything. We will watch anything The Rock does or has done. Including if you have not seen Jumanji, the new ones, you need to see the new ones. Like, not the ones from our childhood.
Yeah, he's trying to bring peace to the world.
Yeah,
trying to calm you down.
One car race at a time.
Okay, so that's calmness. So it's a lot of it's physiological though, of just like calming down. But it's not like calm down because that doesn't really help, right?
I like that joke.
How never in the history of calming down has anyone caught me calm down by having someone yell calm down?
Yeah,
at them. Yeah, I think that's fair. But there is like it's a very. It's something that happens more at like a physical level or like a sub rational level. And so it's actually, you can kind of re-corral your response to it by breathing, by kind of just, you can kind of reset your brain a bit
to
get calm again.
Going back to her definition, it's creating perspective and mindfulness while managing emotional reactivity. So it's like, I think being steady when other things are not being steady and, you know, being in control of your reactivity. So again, I'm a very reactionary person, so calm, not natural. It's something I need to practice. So stillness. So she, you know, because stillness might have a, you know, I was like, come on, she didn't make a definition for this, because how do you redefine, is it necessary to redefine stillness? But she does. She says stillness is not about focusing on nothingness. It's about creating a clearing. It's about opening up an emotionally clutter-free space and allowing yourselves to feel and think and dream and question. So this comes out of her research, right? Like, it's like her seeing this pattern in her research of these people who seem to be wholehearted, and this is the thing that they practice, is stillness. So we were chatting about this, and you had a good explanation, right?
I guess we'll put it to the crowd, see if they vote, if my definition is good.
Okay.
But I think, so the way I was reading it is like stillness is kind of like when you hang out with someone else, you kind of lay aside whatever, like, you know, your breakfast wasn't very good or you were stuck in traffic or something when you got there, like, you kind of lay aside your problems to have a conversation with someone else. Like, sometimes it's relevant to bring that up.
Yeah.
But often you kind of, you're like, you want to talk to them, you want to talk about what they care about, or you have a something you actually want to have a conversation about.
Yeah.
So you don't just spend the whole time on, like, the 15 different things that are going on inside your head that aren't relevant to the conversation, right?
Yeah.
So you do that with other people, but you should, you also need to do that with yourself every once in a while, or regularly, not just regularly say, okay, well, there's all these things I'm distracted by, right? Whether, like, the, you know, the house is a mess, or
my kids are unruly.
Yeah, the kids made me late for work, or, you know, or
the one just cannot figure out how to pee in the potty.
Yeah. But you have to have the kind of the discipline, the same that you do with anyone else,
with yourself.
To do that with yourself and say, no, I'm going to, like, leave that aside and think through actually what's on my mind, what's more important right now.
Yeah. This one seems pretty...
And I just think it's interesting, like, it's to feel and think and dream and question, and it's kind of all those pieces. It's not just, like, I need to make a decision about something important, but it's to keep your brain a rest, too.
Yeah, and for me, this seems, like, pretty natural, because I like to journal, and I pray, and I have a time in the morning where I'm, like, set aside, and before the children are not allowed to bother me, and... That works really well, but one of the things that I don't necessarily always do is set aside the things that I need to focus on, like the current needs for that day or that week that I'm thinking through. I don't necessarily. And so I can only imagine, like, people who don't even practice that regular time of quiet, whether it's with their Bible or anything beyond just Bible reading or prayer or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that they might not have any outlet for setting aside, you know, to feel and drink, feel and think and dream question.
Yeah, and just be kind of aware of themselves.
But one of
I was going to say,
one of the practices that for me have been really helpful is doing what's called morning pages. And I can link to a post about that in the show notes. But I came across this several years ago. And the idea is just to, like, first thing in the morning, just write out three full pages, like three full, like, letter size pages of everything and anything that comes to your mind. And the idea is not to journal, and it's like literally anything that comes to your mind. Like, oh, I forgot to brush my teeth last night. I also need to do the groceries, and here are the things that I need to do on my groceries. And I hope I don't get coronavirus when I go. And I hope they've, you know, like every dumb thing that comes to your mind, and you fill three pages. And in doing that, you actually kind of just, like, empty out everything in your mind, all the things that would, like, pop up and interrupt you. And then at that point, you're able to, like, get to a place of productivity or creation or newness, or I'm just making up words, but, like, the idea comes from a woman who is a creative. She's, like, an artist. So this was helpful for her in creating her art. But for me, like, that actually was really helpful in getting to a space of calm at the beginning of my day.
Yeah.
Because I was able to get rid of everything out of my head and then actually, like, pray without distraction, read my Bible without distraction, because I didn't have all these things popping up.
Yeah.
It kind of, like, relates to... the getting things done method of an inbox in some ways.
Yeah, just kind of clear it.
Just so clear it out, get out of your head. It's not bouncing around in your head.
Yeah. I think that's interesting too, because it's a way of making the issues go away and making stillness. Because otherwise, I think the tendency is, instead of actually being able to set those aside for a time, is that, like, because you kind of know that they're not super important.
Yeah.
Right? So instead of actually being able to set them aside, what you can do is actually just try to distract yourself. More distraction to push those further down.
Exactly.
So whether that's, you know, a TV show or Twitter or whatever. So to have the discipline of saying, no, like, think through, like, these things are not important and I'm not going to think about them.
But they're there and I won't lose them.
Yeah.
So I guess the other way that you could practice stillness is, like, scripture meditation or just, like, that kind of thing, meditating on, like, maybe an attribute of God or something like that, but like, just sitting still and doing that, closing your eyes. And I think that can, for some people, can be challenging enough, because you feel like, I should be doing, there's something more important I should be doing. Or even in prayer, And I have come across this in the past where, you know, you feel like you should be doing X and Y in prayer. Like, I should be praying about the lost. I should be praying about these people who are sick. I should be praying for my politicians. I should, like, you're shooting yourself to death in your prayers. And shoulding.
Okay.
And in that way, like, you're feeling, I don't know, like, distracted.
Yeah, yeah. That you're not actually, like it's Mary versus Martha, right? Where it's like, Mary and Martha, where Martha was, like, doing all this work for Jesus, and Mary was just sitting and talking to Jesus, and Jesus was like, it's better just to hang out.
Yeah.
You know? I don't need you to do all this work. Yeah.
So, I often, like, I journal out my prayers, but, like, I started doing that a long time ago because I couldn't keep my mind focused on prayer. So when I write out my prayers in my journal, it kind of has come to this be this sort of like, this is my day and this is what I've been thinking about and this is a prayer that's related to that. It kind of weaves in and out of prayer and journaling, but it keeps my mind on it. Hmm. And then I have like a list on the side. This is the thing. These are all the things that pop up in my head while I'm trying to focus. But yeah, I think the other thing related to prayer is just stillness and quiet.
Yeah.
That maybe doesn't even have to be like, okay, let me propose this idea.
Okay.
Could we say that just sitting quietly is a form of prayer? And the reason I ask this question is because for some of us, it's an act of faith to just sit quietly.
To not do anything?
Yeah. To just sit quietly and be like, okay, God, like, I'm trusting that you are in control of all of the things.
I suppose. I feel like for me, very occasionally, because I feel like I do appreciate just quietness.
Yeah.
But quietness does not necessarily equal stillness or calmness, right?
Right.
I could see maybe for some people, yeah, that so actually like just to stop doing things is actually like a big step of faith.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's the case for me.
Yeah. So
like,
it's like
I need to like stop thinking about things and start doing things, right?
Right. Yeah.
It's other people, they have to stop doing things and start thinking. You know?
Yeah. I read a book recently that was talking about like different forms of prayer and spirituality related to different personality types. Hmm. And I think that was interesting because it like had different people, kinds of people press into different areas. So like for me, it was to be calm and still and quiet and just trusting God. And then maybe for you, it would have been more like pray and act.
Yeah.
But anyways, I guess all to say is that there's not necessarily one way size fits all other than the Bible is the word of God and we pray and that's how we talk to God.
Yeah.
But we should be still. I mean, we were also talking about the idea of like, she says stillness and calm, but we were thinking about stillness as in like in contrast to distraction.
Yeah.
Do you have any other things to comment on about that?
Well, I think we mostly talked about that already. So,
well,
I don't have a whole lot else to add.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll link these in the show notes. And, like, this is a shorter one because there's not a whole lot to say about stillness and distraction. But, well, I'll link in the show notes to the idea of morning prayer, morning pages, and the big five that Willie talked about.
Yeah.
For that idea of, like, centering and getting grounded.
Yeah.
And we will talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Welcome to Two Plant.
Shoo-doo-wee-doo-wee-doo-wop.
Yeah! Welcome to Two Slant Trees, the podcast where a married couple learn to cope differently during social isolation while waiting for a kid to...